Are you a personal development junkie? Are you completely aware that you have a mindset issue, yet after committing so much time and so much energy to improving yourself, you still feel totally stuck in your business? So what is the deal and how can you finally shift it? In this episode, I'm hanging out with my good friend, Shanae Momoko. Shanae is my soul sister from another lifetime. We met in a leadership program this year and instantly became friends. She's not only inspiring, but she's one of the most caring people I have ever met. Shanae is a former fitness and nutrition expert and retired WBFF bikini pro turned master life coach for fitness and life coaches. Her mission is to help women break through self-doubt and perfectionism, heal limiting beliefs, and take massive action so they can reach their highest potential in business and in life. She is the host of Your Highest Self podcast, which I highly recommend, and the founder of the Highest Self Mastermind that helps aspiring coaches create the conviction to go from a self-conscious nobody to a self-confident leader through balancing feminine and masculine energy. She is also the founder of Evolve, a healing collective that supports women in their self-growth journey as they unapologetically evolve into the woman they've always dreamed of being. When she's not coaching, you will find Shanae reading, boxing, gardening, and fostering orphan kittens with her husband and four min pins in Northern California. I know you guys are going to love, love, love this chat with Shanae, so let's jump into it. Welcome to the Wealthy Coach podcast, where I teach you how to become wealthy AF in your business, your mindset, your coaching, and your life. I'm your host, Kendra Perry. I am a former functional health coach turned online business mentor for health coaches, practitioners, and professionals. I'm here to help you grow the online business of your dreams by teaching you the strategy, the tech, and by helping you cultivate the mindset you need to be a badass health entrepreneur. I'm blunt, I'm to the point, and I'll probably drop an F-bomb or two, so fasten your seatbelts and get ready to become wealthy AF. Well, hello there. So before we get into today's episode, I just want to remind you that today is Cyber Monday. So at the time I'm recording this, it is November 30th. It is Cyber Monday. And the promos that I have going on for Black Friday are going to end at midnight Pacific. So if you get this in the future, I'm sorry, unfortunately, you've missed out. But if you are listening and it's still the 30th and you want to take advantage of these promos that I'm not going to be offering again, you might want to take action. So these are the two things that I have on promo right now. Number one is my Health Boss Training Bundle. So this bundles up three of my online mini courses that honestly people love and get some of the best results. So the Health Boss Training Bundle is going to bundle Niche Like a Boss, which is my niche training that is going to help you choose a profitable niche once and for all, one that feels aligned and one that will also attract clients. Number two is Signature Program RX. So this is my training that will help you develop and build out your transformational coaching program. So we are going to build out a program that your clients or your audience feel like is exactly for them. We're going to name it, we're going to price it, and you are going to feel 100% confident in what you are offering and what you are selling by the end of this training. And then number three is my Rock Your Sales Call Workshop. So this training gives you my step-by-step script of how to show up on sales calls so that you feel confident, calm, and that you can sell and close the call without feeling slimy, salesy, or inauthentic. We talk about addressing objections, how to position the call, how to execute the call. Really, really powerful training. And you are going to get all of this plus bonuses inside my Health Boss Training Bundle, and you're basically getting a 3-for-1 price. So even if you've already taken Niche Like a Boss or Rock Your Sales Calls, you are still gonna get this bundle for less than the cost to even pay for two of these, right, regularly. So it's still gonna be 100% worth your time. So if you want to take advantage of that, you can click on the link in the show notes to check that out. And the other thing I'm offering is my HTMA Expert course on promo. So this is my hair tissue mineral analysis training for practitioners. So if you are a practitioner who wants to learn hair tissue mineral analysis, or you want to start implementing lab testing into your practice, this is the best course on HTMA in the industry. We have trained hundreds of practitioners and we have dozens, I think I have 40 or 50 testimonials at this point, because this program is incredibly life-changing, not only for you and your health, but for your clients. So I'm also offering that on a promo as well. So again, if you want to take advantage of that promo, you can get the information in the show notes below. Remember, these promos end on November 30th at midnight Pacific Standard Time. So I'm sorry again if you're listening after that time, but if you are listening before that time, then definitely take advantage of these. I will not be offering promos like this again. All right, guys, that is enough of the promotional shit. Let's get into the episode. Hello, hello, Shanae. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
This is so fun. Me and Shanae actually just recorded for her podcast, so we're having like a double whammy hang right now, and we're both really excited about it. So guys, as I said in the intro, I've known Shanae since, I guess, January of this year. We are soul sisters. We quickly connected inside a leadership program that we were doing. And yeah, I'm just so excited to have her on the show. And Shanae, I would love if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, how you got to where you are right now with what you're doing right now in your business.
Like you said, mine is also going to be a long, convoluted story, so I'm going to try and keep it a little bit shorter. But I started off as a fitness coach, fitness and nutrition coach. Mm-hmm. I used to call myself health and fitness coach. and it all happened when I did my first bodybuilding show in 2013. I was a senior in college. And before that, I just started working out. Like before that, I had never really worked out. And when I lifted my first weight, it was very empowering. And a friend showed me a photo of a competitor wearing a sparkly bikini and she looked gorgeous. And I was like, oh my God, I need to do this. So, you know, being a type A obsessive personality, I dove straight into it, did my first show. I won my pro card. I won first place. I was like the youngest person there. And I just became obsessed with fitness. And I've always known that I wanted to help people. I just wasn't sure how. And my major at the time was city and regional planning. So after I graduated.
Oh, weird. I had no idea.
Yeah. So city planning. And I only chose that major to get into the school because I knew I'd get in. And I've always wanted to help people. So I was like, I'm going to help people by becoming a personal trainer. So fast forward a year, I stayed at my university for another year after I graduated. I became a personal trainer and like within a month, you know, built a full personal training business. It was funny just how good at it I was. I really felt like I found my purpose. Mm. And in doing that first show, I actually developed body image dysmorphia and an eating disorder. And I had never struggled with any of that before, but I loved competing so much and the personal development journey that I went on to stand on that stage. So like the emotional and mental kind of training that I went through to even have the courage to do that was so profound that I wanted to do it again. So fast forward to 2015, I competed in my first pro show. I coached myself. I learned the ins and outs of the industry of dieting, of posing, of the training routines, of building muscle and all of that. And I became obsessed while being a personal trainer. And I competed in 5 shows back to back, which was a lot of fun. And then, you know, during that process, I launched my online business. I didn't launch my online business until I was done competing, which was really interesting because of all the time and energy that I took to compete at a pro level. But once I launched my online business, I was a fitness coach. I did competition prep training. I also went into post-competition training because even though I had made a commitment to myself that, you know, when I went back into the competing circuit that I would do it in the healthiest way possible, mentally and emotionally and physically, it still caught up with me. And I still did develop an eating disorder again. And my identity was so wrapped up in being a pro and looking a certain way that inevitably when I gained the 20 pounds after, it was just a big crash. And so I felt like I went through a spiritual awakening of refinding myself and realizing like who it is I really am, what are my values, what's important to me. And that's when it became clear that competing was a band-aid for my inner child wounds. And that propelled me down a long, winding, healing journey of therapists, of body work, of breath work, of coaching, lots of coaching. And alongside of that, continuing to coach my clients and you know, being a coach in that capacity. But long story short, through all of that, the thing that I loved most about being a coach and what made the biggest difference for me was mindset. You know, I can give my client the best training program, the best meal plan. I could show up to their house 4 times a week to train them. But if they didn't have the mindset and the self-belief that what they were doing is possible or that they were worthy of the goals that they want to achieve, then they're always going to self-sabotage themselves. So that's the stuff I loved. So I was like, you know, there's plenty of people who can make workout programs. There's plenty of people who can do the nutrition coaching. My bread and butter really was the mindset coaching. And so I dove straight into that. And my business has pivoted a little bit since last September, I think is when I would say I really decided to put the food and body image business to the side. I was struggling trying to juggle two niches for a long time. It's actually more so this year. I think I finally like leaned into my pivot. And yeah. I'm now full-time life coach for fitness and life coaches, helping them heal their limiting beliefs so they can step into their purpose and create impact.
Yeah, I love that. And I know like people listening who are health coaches, they've seen these mindset blocks probably in their clients, maybe knowing that they're there or not, because it's so true. Like, and I used to see this as a health coach, like you give someone the plan, and you're like, you just need to do it. And they're not doing it. And they still haven't gotten started or this happens. And I remember, cause you know, when I was early on in my health coaching career, I didn't understand this mindset thing. So I didn't understand why people weren't just doing it. Right. And I think that that happens in business too. Right. And I think, a lot of new coaches, they don't even know that what they're dealing with is mindset. So maybe you can tell our audience about like, how would you know you might be dealing with a mindset thing? And then we're going to dive into, well, what happens if you've done the mindset work and obviously it's not working.
So I feel like mindset's this esoteric word and it's highly overused, right? Like everyone's a mindset coach, but what exactly does a mindset coach do? Whenever I use the word mindset, I want you to think of it as your perspective of something. So how you view something is your mindset. So it really is just the perception that you have of something in that moment. Because we often think that it's our circumstances that create our reality, but it's not. It's the thoughts that we have about our circumstances that create our experience. So you can have one circumstance and have two different perspectives of it. So are you going to choose the positive mindset or the negative mindset? Another way to look at it is, are you going to look at it with a fixed mindset or a growth mindset? So really it's just your perspective. So that's mindset. And you know, if you're a human living on this earth, you have mindset issues. Like,
we all
have mindset blocks, and that's because there are so many different things that happen to us growing up that create our conditioning, specifically between the ages of like 0 to 7 is really when our patterns and our conditioning takes place. And so, you know, as a 6-year-old, you don't know that when someone says something to you, that you're now ingraining a conditioning or a pattern of something about you.
Yeah. But I mean, and it's so interesting because like, we're so young, we're just like downloading. And obviously it's not always our parents' fault. Like sometimes they are just doing the best they can do, but we're just little sponges at that point. Right.
Exactly. So I didn't know I had a mindset issue until I had that sort of like identity breakdown.
Right.
And you don't know what you don't know. So it was when someone asked me, are you being compassionate with yourself or are you judging yourself? And that's when I realized I had a choice. I had a choice of how I wanted to view my current circumstance, my current reality. So if you are struggling with something, if you've done some, if you're doing all the things you should be doing and you are still struggling, like then it's a mindset thing. And then if you've been working on your mindset, and you're like, but I'm reading the books, I'm journaling, I'm meditating, you know, if I'm doing all this stuff and I'm still struggling with it, that's when I would say it's a layer deeper and it's an energy block.
Yeah. And I'd love to dive into that because I feel that a lot of coaches probably listening are like self-care, self-personal development junkies. And obviously like there's this whole industry built on like personal development and us like never really getting there because, you know, it's an industry, right? So let's dig into that deeper layer. Cause I think like we talk about mindset a lot on this podcast. And I think a lot of listeners like are aware that there are these mindset blocks, but I also know that a lot of them are junkies. Like they do a lot of this stuff. They have like all these different coaches and they're reading all these books, but yet they still can't build the business. So like, let's dive into that deeper layer.
Yeah. I mean, that was me. I was doing all this stuff. I had the business. I was making 10K a month. But I still like was self-sabotaging myself, or I still kind of like held myself back, or I didn't feel fully like happy and like I'm like reaching my potential, right? When we're personal development junkies, you have to understand that like you're digging a hole to try and find like the root, the core wound, but at some point you have to stop digging and you have to start building.
I love this because I feel like I've done this. I'm like, well, it must be this, or maybe it's this, or maybe it's because I had this experience or that experience. And it's just like this constant, like digging. But you're saying like, sometimes you got to stop digging, right?
Yeah. You have to stop digging. You have to start building. And then, so this is where like energy healing and beliefs come in. So I think that the missing piece of personal development is energy work. Because we can do all this mindset work, we can read all these books, we can sort of surface layer, fix ourselves, right? Because, you know, with personal development, I mean, in my experience, I'm like, something is wrong with me. I need to be more positive. So I need to fix this. But we want to flip that on its head and start to look at personal development as not fixing ourselves, but really elevating ourselves. So digging the hole is fixing, building from that hole, stop digging and start to build a new foundation for yourself, I think is belief work. So that's the next layer. So you guys, you've talked about the thought model.
Yeah, we have. I actually just taught the thought model the other day and I was like mentioning you to my health coach accelerator people. And you know, it's interesting. I'm having this flashback to this conversation we had a couple months ago where we were talking about body image and you said to me like something along the lines of like, well, what if you're not broken and nothing needs fixing? And I was like, huh? Like what? What do you mean?
Yeah, because you are ambitious and you want what's next and what's best. And so a lot of times we like go after our building our businesses or going after our personal development journeys from that energy of scarcity. And if you look for all the things that are wrong with you, so by, you know, listening to podcasts nonstop, you're always going to be looking for what is wrong with you because you're trying to fix something. But if we can like shift that energy and look at your personal development from a new perspective, a new mindset, you'll start to actually see different things. So thought model, circumstances trigger our thoughts, which trigger our feelings, actions, and results. I actually think there's a new layer in there that I've started to incorporate into my coaching, and it's beliefs. So a belief is a thought that you've had over and over again, so much so that it becomes a subconscious part of you. So we all have a certain set of beliefs about ourselves. And a lot of it, like we said, was built from the time we were like 0 to 7 years old. And so some of these beliefs can be really empowering. And some of these beliefs can be extremely limiting. And so you have this limiting belief about yourself and you think it's the truth.
Yeah.
So like, you know, someone is like, well, I'm a procrastinator or like, I can't public speak. I'm not good at speaking. Like you've said it to yourself so many times that it's become ingrained in who you are. It's become trapped and stuck inside your body. So it becomes a belief. And the scary thing about beliefs is that you don't even need to have a thought to trigger it anymore.
Explain, tell me more.
So when we have a thought and it triggers a feeling, which then, you know, successes into the action and result, the belief is ingrained in who we are. It becomes the identity that which we see.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. So like, yeah, there doesn't that it just is. Nothing's even triggering it. It's just like normal status quo stuff in your brain, right?
Exactly. And so what I've noticed and what I found is that that next layer, if you've done all this mindset work and you've done all this personal development, but like you still don't feel good enough, then it's time to look deeper and it's time to go into shadow work and inner child healing and really looking at the energy that which you're operating out of, because you can be doing all these things and chasing success and, you know, signing on clients left and right. But if at the core of who you're being, you're not happy and you're chasing all of this from a place to fill a void, then you're never going to get there. Like you were saying in the very beginning.
Yeah. And I've seen this in a lot of like fellow entrepreneurs, and I've seen it myself, is like using entrepreneurship, using success, using money to fill that hole, to fill that void that is within you, thinking that it's going to make you feel better or make you happy. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, right? And when you're not happy from within, you don't have that sturdy foundation. It's like you hit that goal, you feel happy for like a second. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you're moving on to the next goal because it doesn't fulfill you, right?
Yeah. And then like the double whammy of that is then that experience gets put back into like your bank account. So your subconscious, like your subconscious mind, remembers everything. You know, it knows like what you wore on your second birthday. So our conscious mind can't keep up with all of this, but our subconscious mind does. So then subconsciously you're putting that into your bank of beliefs. Well, I achieved this and I still don't feel good enough. I must not be good enough. No matter what I do, I'm still not happy. Maybe I'm not meant to be happy. And so all these negative beliefs and all of these negative experiences start to actually take an impact on our health and on our bodies. Yeah. And it becomes an energetic block. And so you may be continuously acting out of self-sabotage or acting out of an old belief or an old identity because you have this energy block stuck in you. So it's either a feeling or it's an experience that you've never truly released. Mm-hmm. It might be a statement, a thought that you've never expressed. And so you continue to repress, and it becomes stuck. And so a lot of the work I do is actually working with Reiki, which is energy healing and chakras. So, you know, a lot of times my clients would be like, I can't post. I have all this great content and I just feel like I can't like speak. And so when we start to, you know, and these are brilliant women who are doing their journaling, who are doing their meditating, who are showing up for themselves and doing self-care and doing the mindset work and reading personal development and listening to podcasts. So they're like, what the heck, you know, I'm doing all this stuff. Like, why can't I post the content? I have the content sitting in later. Well done. I just can't press post. Mm-hmm. So this is when it becomes really essential to start to do the deeper shadow work and really start to uncover like, where am I getting, like, you know, what is the old belief that I'm operating out of? Because this might be a belief that was, you know, conditioned or given to us, you know, when we were 7, when we were 8. It might be something that's happening in our physical environment right now that's, you know, inhibiting us from taking that action. And so through Reiki, which is energy healing, we can start to work on cleansing this block that we have in our body. So are you familiar with like what energy is? Should I go into that?
Yeah, I would love if we could define shadow work and then energy. I think that would be really helpful for everyone.
Okay, cool. So let's start with shadow work. Shadow work is the part of our psyche, part of our ego that we have repressed or hidden for fear of judgment or not being accepted by others.
Right.
So we tend to turn off what doesn't get love, and then we amplify the parts of ourselves that does. So my favorite two questions to ask people are, maybe you can answer them, Kendra. As a child, gut reaction, whose love did you crave the most, your mom or your dad?
Dad.
Dad. Yeah. Who did you have to become in order to receive his love?
Competitive sports person, an amazing skier.
And what parts of yourself did not receive love or attention from him?
What part, like, can you explain, like, I'm not sure I get that one.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, did he maybe not acknowledge any of your creativity or like you liking to be out in nature?
I would say like the emotional side of myself. Like I got love when I achieved, But I didn't get it when I was emotional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what happens is that emotional side of you becomes your shadow.
Oh my gosh, this is so true. This, I'm just like, yeah, like I struggle like with emotion and I hate it. Mm-hmm. And I hate when people think that I'm being emotional. It's so funny. Like I posted this YouTube video last week and it was very different than my usual YouTube videos. I was literally just talking about how I've been struggling, like with everything that's going on in the world and just feeling really low. And I had so many amazing people reach out to me and be like, hey, I'm here for you. And it like made me mad. I was like, I'm fine. I'm fine. Like, I just posted that because, you know, I'm just trying to connect with you. I'm fine. Like, don't ask me if I'm fine. I was like, why is this happening? Like, this is amazing that so many people are showing up to support me and I'm just like annoyed with them.
Yeah, it triggered you.
It did. Yeah.
That's your shadow. That's the part of you that you repress, you put away, you hide because you don't think that that is the part of you that's going to receive love, or you've been conditioned to hide.
Yeah. Yeah. And I definitely heard a lot of like, don't be a drama queen. And like, don't, it definitely wasn't, you know, and I mean, I know teenage girls are definitely can be crazy, you know, but I think they also get, what's the word? I'm gaslighted. Is that the right term?
Yeah, yeah. Like when you're being told you're being too emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yes. Yes. So that's our shadow. And so, you know, for me, like my, what got a lot of love and attention was my perfectionism and my, like my discipline. And then what really didn't get attention was pretty much everything else. Like, you know, when I would read, like kind of things like that. When I got in trouble, I actually got my books taken away from me.
Oh weird. My gosh. Yeah.
Rude. So that is shadow work. Shadow work is having the courage to pull the curtains and be like, and just investigate that. So
yeah.
One, you showing up and filming a video about your emotions is you doing the shadow work. And mm-hmm. I, you know, personally, I know you, so I know all the work you've done this year on mm-hmm. your own like emotional and spiritual well-being to be able to show up in that way. Mm-hmm. But a lot of us, we repress that or we like don't want to get into it. And so that's shadow work. Again, it's just that part of our psyche. And a lot of times what happens is we think that people will love us more if we don't have that part of us.
Right, right. And again, that can be totally subconscious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that self-improvement starts with self-love. So when we learn to love all the pieces of ourselves, especially our shadows, especially the pieces of ourselves that we've cut away, or, you know, we feel like if I was just less shy, then I would be more liked. If we can learn to embrace all of that, then we can start to build our self-improvement from a foundation of self-love. And so this is when we stop getting off of that hamster wheel of the when-then game, or of, you know, chasing that finish line. Mm-hmm. So that's shadow work. Energy. We all have this one life force energy. It's the same energy that's within you, that's within me, within the trees, within nature. Some people call the life force energy God. Some people call it the universe. Some people call it source. But when we do Reiki is energy healing. And so I'm able to channel energy from source into my client. So whether that be physically there, you know, with me laying down, or distance. A lot of times within the different chakra centers that we have in our bodies, a chakra can either get blown out or can get blocked due to different things. So for example, if you have a really hard time speaking up, speaking your truth, communicating, maybe even communicating your feelings to your partner, then your throat chakra may be blocked. And so energy healing can help clear out any blocked energy, re-energize, heal. There's all these different colors that we use. But it's, I'm not healing you. You are your own healer. And so it really is dependent on the person receiving the energy healing, how much of it they're going to get. So, you know, one of the biggest things that's going to block energy healing is resentment. So if you're holding resentment or anger about anything, then you won't be able to fully receive the life force energy. So it's an ancient Japanese practice. Actually, it's just funny because I'm half Japanese. So it's really, I love that my journey took me there. And the reason why my journey took me to Reiki is because I have been going to therapy for so many years, mm-hmm. Specifically for my relationship with my parents. And usually around the holidays, I get really depressed because I don't go home and, you know, holidays are family. And so last year around this time, I was like, I'm so sick of this. What do I need to do? Like, what is it that I need to do that's going to help me heal so I can stop being so hard on myself about it, and yeah, just being really hard on myself. And so I sought out Reiki and energy healing, and it's not a right away thing, just like how mindset is never like a right away thing. But after my first session, it was a month later, something triggered me and I was able to work through it. And I finally feel as if like my parents don't have like this energetic hold on me. And I felt like I was really able to like clear out a lot from my sacral, my root chakra, and I was able to feel safe in my body because I was feeling very unsafe. So that's why I was like, oh man, that is the next layer is energy healing, because I had done so much mindset work. I was a mindset coach doing tons of therapy, and I still couldn't like just shake that feeling.
Yeah. And it's such a good point. And I've had that experience because I think like the talk therapy that I did in counseling was so helpful for just bringing those things into my awareness. But at some point, like, you're like, I want, like, I've talked about this like over and over and over. Like, I don't want to fucking talk about it anymore. Like, there must be something else. And I actually did do some Reiki. I worked with an energy coach this winter, Shelley Tomlinson or something like that. I can't remember her last name now, in the Nelson area. And she was great. And then I also got into breath work.
Yeah.
Which was really helpful. And then suddenly, and it really resonated with me because I did a workshop through Samantha Skelly, and she's like, sometimes you don't need to know what it is to release it. And that really resonated with me because I'm like, yeah, like we're sitting here like drudging up our wounds and talking about them over and over and over. But like, what about just letting them go without giving them a second thought, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And a lot of times when I'm doing Reiki, I'll incorporate breath work in there, because what happens when you're doing breath work, we actually did breath work together, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We did a little session together. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Because you're able to get out of your limbic brain and into your body.
Yeah.
And so you're able to access, because our bodies remember everything. Yeah. And so, if you are having a hard time speaking out, or if there's like a stressful situation, look at your body language. Maybe you're cowering, you know, maybe you're like clenching your stomach, or maybe you're, you know, you hold, you like shut your jaw super tight. And so your body remembers that energy each and every time. And so in order for you to release that, I mean, my first breathwork session was with Ruby, and right. I physically felt the pain that I was I physically felt the pressure on my body that I was energetically doing to myself. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Putting like so much emotional pressure on myself to be successful. And I was successful, but I wasn't feeling it. And then finally, when I did breath work, I was able to get in my body and I felt it. And it was so painful. It wasn't a fun session. And I didn't release, because I'm stubborn as hell. didn't release at all. And I was like, damn, like, I cannot believe that that's how painful it is. I just couldn't physically feel it because it's been emotional. It's been energetic. And that's what like really triggered me to be like, I need to do energy work. Like, it's not the mindset. It's not my thoughts. I do all this. It is physically stuck in my body. And I need to release it. And so Reiki and breath work have been that next sort of deeper layer, like when maybe a lot of your listeners might be ready to take.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so. And I've had a similar experience with breath work. Like, I got into breath work again, Ruby. Ruby is our life coach, leadership coach. What do we call her? She's amazing. She's our mentor. We love her. And she had recommended Marcel Hoff's breathwork course, the brother of Wim Hof, the Iceman. And I got into that. And that was really helpful in that it gave me a lot of energy. And I felt like it put a lot of vitality into my body. And that was really helpful. But then when I did Samantha Skelly's 4-hour breathwork workshop one Saturday, like, I had this emotional release that was crazy. And I was like bawling and like seizing and like, just, I was like it literally felt like I took the best like shit of my life. Like, for like, we're going to be gross here, because, but like emotionally, like this emotional dump, because I was just like, I don't know what that was.
You don't and need it,
I felt like shit for like a day afterwards. You know, I was like exhausted, but you know what I mean? Like I was like, I let go of something, mm-hmm. you know? And so it really occurred to me like how powerful something like breathwork could be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you had never done that, you would have just continued with the mindset work. You'd have kept digging your hole, right? Like digging, trying to find the root. And I love finding the root and the core mm-hmm. wounds. Like what is the mm-hmm. core wound that we're operating of? What is this like wounded belief that we're our identity around? And that can be really helpful. But mm-hmm. at some point you have to stop digging and you have to say, you know what? I'm not happy with this. I want to reset, and I'm willing to do what it takes to build a new life for myself. And there comes to a point where you have to stop digging and you have to start building.
Yeah. It's so true. And I love this. I haven't really thought about this that way before, like stop digging, start building. So what would be some like actionable steps like our audience members could take if they're like, this is me, like I totally resonate with what you ladies are talking about. Like, what are some things that they could do?
First, I would love for everyone to just meet themselves with compassion. Because again, like when you are type A and ambitious and you have all these goals you want to reach, we can tend to just want to reach that next thing for the sake of reaching it. So like meeting ourselves with compassion in this present moment with where you are. And then number two is taking personal responsibility. So you have to be willing to take personal responsibility for how you feel. Like no one made you feel that way. You know, I had a very traumatic childhood, but I had to stop blaming my parents.
Yeah.
I had to stop blaming my past experiences. You know, when I gained a bunch of weight post-competition and I was a pro and I was like, oh my God, like I had to take personal responsibility for that. You know, for a long time, I was blaming my hormones for my weight gain. And my husband was like, it's so funny. He like doesn't do any personal development, but he like knows a lot. But he looked at me and he was like, it's here, Shanae. And he was like pointing to his head. And I was like, you're wrong. Something's wrong with my hormones. I got to figure it out. There's got to be another coach. There's got to be something, you know? And it wasn't. I had to take personal responsibility for that. So meet yourself with compassion, start to take personal responsibility, and then hire someone to help you. Like you are not meant to do this alone. I think that community is vastly underrated. I think vulnerability is vastly underrated. And one of my like highlights is seeing women open up to other women. This sounds crazy, but like in my virtual retreats, like people are sobbing.
Yeah.
Sobbing to each other, and I love it. It's like,
I love when people cry. Every time I cry, I think of you. I'm like, Shanae would be proud.
So proud, because tears are releasing. And yeah, so finding a space where you can be vulnerable, where you can show up vulnerably. And you know, we talked about this on my show, but like vulnerability is putting yourself in harm's way. But I don't see it like that. I think of vulnerability as allowing yourself to truly be seen, knowing that you're not in harm's way and allowing yourself to really open up. And so finding either a mentor or a community or a place where this is celebrated and this is the norm, because this is deep work and you don't have to do it by yourself.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so true about vulnerability, because it does allow you to be seen, but it also helps you connect with other people. And this is something I learned from Brené Brown, right? She's like, you're not going to be able to connect if you can't be vulnerable, because like, who wants to be friends? Or like, you can't connect with someone who you only talk about the weather with.
No,
we don't. My worst fucking nightmare.
Yeah, no, I don't do surface level. Like if we have a conversation, you're probably going to cry. I can't help it. Like just go there. And Brené Brown says this really great thing. She says that shame cannot live in vulnerability. And so a lot of times what really holds us back from truly stepping into our potential and like releasing this shit is the shame.
Right.
And shame cannot live in vulnerability. So finding a place where you can be vulnerable, where you can release, where you can really talk about these things and not feel judged for it, but where it is like the norm, can really help you open up and let go and evolve.
Yeah. And you know, you're not alone. Like, you know, these things that you're feeling and, you know, this fear of vulnerability and all of that, like, I mean, a lot of people are dealing with this. You know, when I made that YouTube video last week, like the amount of people who gave me feedback and reached out to me, I was like, wow,
everyone's feeling the exact same way as I am right now. And that's just is very beautiful and very comforting, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You'll realize that like, you're not that special. Like, you're special. We love you, but your problems aren't special. There's like, if I'm dealing with something, I guarantee there's a million other people dealing with the same exact thing. And so vulnerability like really shows us that we're on that same path.
Yeah. And it's a big reason actually why I stopped working with private clients who were new in their business, because I just found that like they were getting so tripped up with these like mindset stuff, but like they didn't know that it was normal. They weren't even aware that they were not the only person experiencing this. So it just made me realize that new coaches are better served in a group format, because then they can see each other. Mm-hmm. And they can connect with each other and realize like, wow, like that person feels the exact same way I do. And like, this is normal. Like, we're all feeling this way, you know? And so I think when you're all alone, you don't even realize what you don't know, right?
Exactly. Yeah. My first experience with this was actually post-competition. After I gained a lot of weight, I sort of like came out of the closet and I talked about my binge eating, which was like really scary to talk about. And I talked about just how I felt about myself. And it was amazing the feedback that I got. For so many people were like, wow, I felt this way too. And like, thank you for talking about it. Which I think is what sparked my obsession with creating community and creating places for women to come together so that they can share in their struggles and not feel alone. Because I think like when you hear your story being told from someone else's mouth, you're all of a sudden able to see all the pieces. Then you can see the exit sign. But when you're saying the story by yourself, all you see is like the problem and like you feel like you're stuck.
Yeah.
So yeah, community is awesome. So compassion, personal responsibility, and then community.
Yeah. And I love that you talk about personal responsibility too. I just spoke about this in a mindset training last week with my HCA students, where I was like, victimhood, like this is a really toxic place to be as a business owner. Like, you have to take full responsibility for your business and the experiences you have. And I think, you know, a really good point to mention, and you mentioned this when you talked about your family, like just because something is not your fault doesn't mean you can't take responsibility for the way you're reacting to it and perceiving it.
It's actually so much more powerful, and you're able to meet, it's called having active acceptance. Great book. The book is called Being Happier by Ben Tal Tahar. I forget how to say his name. But it's about perfectionism. And he talks about active acceptance and having like positive acceptance for where you are right now. So that you can, well, having acceptance for where you are so that you can use that positive energy to move forward. And like, we cannot do that if we don't take personal responsibility. And so taking personal responsibility doesn't mean that the other person is off the hook. It doesn't mean that, you know, they're forgiven for, you know, whatever it is they did. It just means that you no longer are going to be a victim to your own mindset and that you are deciding to build.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so important. I don't think people can heal. I don't think people can build businesses unless they're in that, like, you know, I call it radical responsibility, same thing. You have to be there. Otherwise, like, everything is just happening to you and you are just a victim of your circumstances, like reacting to everything that's coming at you. And that's not going to like work from the perspective of like a growth mindset in life or business. Right.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And it's just a choice. It's not that hard. It really isn't.
Yeah. It's a great choice. It's like the best choice you'll ever make. Yeah. And I, you know, I get it, because I've been there. Like, I used to totally be a victim to everything. And then I realized that like, it wasn't serving me and I needed to get over my shit and get over myself. And just, I love that active acceptance. I'm going to use that. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah. It's such a great mindset, just having active acceptance.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Janae. This has been a great conversation. I feel like I had like a aha moment on this podcast. So thank you for that. And I would love if you would tell the audience, like, how can they connect with you and work with you if they want to do, you know, Reiki with you, like, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah. So I have a healing collective. It's a private membership community. It's called Evolve, and it is for the woman who is ready to step into her ever evolving self growth journey. It's not just for coaches. I've been on my own journey of finding this niche. And if you listen to Kendra, you know how much she talks about niches. And so, you know, I've kind of had to like do some work on this, but if you are listening to this podcast, you're a health coach and you need this. I mean, if you are doing mindset work and it's still not working, and you're doing it by yourself, then you need a community where you can show up in your full vulnerability and your full authenticity, a place where that is celebrated. So it is a healing collective. And we really focus on inner child healing, journaling, and mindset and self-care practices. So that's where you can hang out with me. And, I also do work with coaches in another container that's called Highest Self Mastermind. And, that is, I'm not a business coach. So if you need strategy, you go to Kendra. but if you need a life coach, if you need a mentor who is going to hold space for you and truly see you, I have a mastermind that's called the Highest Self Mastermind, and it's less strategy, more healing. And so it's the healing side of being an entrepreneur. Enrollments for that, I think, are going to open up in December of 2020, and we're going to start February of 2021. So those are the two things that I do, the community and then the mastermind. So I'm obsessed.
I love that. And I was a guest expert in your Highest Self Mastermind, and it was such a fun group and so intimate. I really loved it.
Yeah. So what I do is I bring experts like Kenny in to actually teach the stuff.
Oh, it's so funny that you just called me Kenny. Everyone calls me Kenny. Like, all my closest friends call me that. That's so funny.
I don't know. It just came out of nowhere. I actually call you Kenny in my head all the time, which is
really, like, oh, that's so funny. Like, all my like oldest friends call me Kenny, and I like love hate it.
Like, that's not my name, but I also love it.
Yes, I also love it.
Yeah. So you can come hang out with me there. And then you can also come hang out with me on my podcast, which is called Your Highest Self. And we talk about personal development, healing, and mindset there as well. So it is that nitty gritty shadow work side of your personal development journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a great podcast. I actually listened to it, and I listened to a really great one on imposter syndrome the other day that I thought was awesome. So definitely check out Shanae. Thank you everyone for listening today. And I will see you in 1 week from today with the next episode next Monday. And I love you all, and have a great day.
Bye.
Thank you so, so much for tuning in. And I'm wondering, do you want to help me with my mission to end health coach poverty? Because if you do, I need all the help I can get. And all I need is 2 minutes of your time. If you could leave me a 5-star review on iTunes, that would help so much. These reviews help get my podcast in front of more people, which means that I can reach more health coaches and complete my mission. Thank you so much for your help. And I can't wait to talk to you in the next episode.